As most of you know by now, I lost my mother to cancer at the beginning of October, and about 2 weeks ago now, I had her funeral back in Minnesota. Getting back here about 2 weeks ago, I got back here, so it must have been like 3 weeks ago I had her funeral. And she chose for her funeral this second reading that we have today. And I kind of feel like she's coming back to me through this reading, and I have to give my credit where it's due. This homily is coming to you, compliments of my mother. She really taught me a lot that relates to this particular reading, this second reading. Like many of you, perhaps my age at least, you look back at your parents. I think my mom was somewhat typical, for the time at least, back in the late 40s, early 50s. She got married at 19, and by age 29, she'd had 7 kids, one of whom was a stillborn. Now that, by today's standards, that would just be ridiculous to do something like that, but that's the way things were back then. People got married younger. And they tended to have, I mean, at least I found out when I was a senior in high school, that there was this widespread, at least in the 70s, myth, I guess, of Catholics that we all had big families. That was how we were looked at. And I just so happened to have one with 6 kids, with one in heaven praying for us. And the other thing that struck me, though, as I went over this second reading in preparation for my mom's funeral, was how different then her life was than mine. A very different life. Obviously, I can't be a mother. That's one thing. I couldn't raise that many kids and probably stay sane. The other beautiful thing she did was she sanctified her widowhood after losing my father in 1991. And it was just remarkable. She became such a woman of prayer, and novenas was her favorite thing. And just simple little novenas. She had her regimen of prayer every day. But you know, that path to where she went and where she is now, as with all of us, is going to be different. It's going to be different, which doesn't necessarily mean bad. It's just different. I can't be a mother, so I could never have kids like she did. And the thing that she taught me, though, is even though our path, all of our paths to where she is now is different, the question that is often not asked is, once you get there to where she was in death, once you get there, how do you get out? That's the question we never seem to get to, and that today's second reading is getting to. Because Paul is saying to them, if we believe that Jesus died and rose, so too will God, through Jesus, bring with him those who have fallen asleep. That's her way out. And she lived her life as though that was true. Once you get into the pit of death, how are you going to get out of there? And who's going to come and fetch you from that pit? And my mom lived in the hope that it would be Jesus and not someone else. And I believe that that is true. I believe my mom is in a better place today. And I do believe this is true, that Jesus will come and did come to take her out of that hole and take her with himself into the kingdom to be in a better place. Because Jesus, in rising from the dead, declares to the world, I have power over death. Death has no power over me. Now, one of the things that this could lead us to, and it's kind of been around, I know, since I was in high school at least, and that is when you start talking about that next world, it somehow detracts from the importance of this world. And that's not what I'm trying to say here. Because creation for us in our faith is not just what we see, the visible. Creation includes the invisible. That's our creed. I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven, which we don't see, and earth, which we do see, creator of all things visible, which we do see, and invisible, which we don't see. That's the full spectrum of creation, and we believe in this. But see, today, to talk about that other world doesn't necessarily mean we're putting down this world. It's simply to say that how we live our life in the world we do see has a permanent effect on where we end up in the world that we don't see. And that's the truth, because my life in the body is forming my spiritual soul right now. My life in the body is forming my spiritual soul. And at death, how my soul is formed doesn't all of a sudden just become well disposed to heaven if what I've lived on earth is an evil life. My soul goes to the grave formed by the body and the way I lived in evil. It's formative. Our life is formative. And this is why we talk about the close union of soul and body. We're a composite of soul and body. We're not just bodies. We're also a soul. And the soul will be what goes to the other side, into that world we don't see. And so, one of the reasons then to talk about this world that we don't see is to recognize and acknowledge its existence, number one, but also that this life is not the end of life. It's not the end all, it's not even the be all. We're on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage through life, which doesn't, again, I'm not saying even that we celebrate the veterans. I'm not trying to even detract from that, the veterans who have gone to war for us and our freedoms. That's strictly temporal concerns. It's not to say any of that is unimportant. Hitler had to be stopped. And he wasn't just going to say, oh, okay, well, yeah, I think you're right. Maybe I am kind of messing things up here. I'll just give up. He wasn't going to do that. We had to force him to sit down. But we need to also begin to acknowledge the existence of a world we don't see, so that when we live our life this side of the grave, we can recognize the formative influence that our life in the body has for what we don't see about ourselves, which is our soul. We just see evidence of it. Without my soul, I'd be a corpse. I'd have no life in me. My body is telling you that I have a soul because it's animated. Take the soul out, I'm a corpse. But see, that soul is being formed by the composite unity with the body, by how we're living. And I say this to exhort you once again, that we need to be conscious of how we're living. And to conclude with this one truth about the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is not the church of the perfect. It's the church of the repentant. Because there's no one in this church, myself included, that's perfect. There's none of us that are perfect. In fact, if you want evidence of that, go to the Gospel today, where five virgins weren't admitted into the kingdom. Wow, I thought, gee, if you're going to be a virgin, you'd get in for sure. Guess what? Five were excluded today from getting into the kingdom. And there's Mary Magdalene, a former prostitute, in the kingdom. What's the difference? Mary Magdalene repented of her sin. We're the church of the repentant. The first words out of Jesus' mouth when he began preaching the good news to us after the death of John the Baptist were, repent, believe in the good news. And those who repent come into the mercy of Christ in life and in death, while those who have no need of repentance die like the righteous 99, and they stay in death and meet the justice of God. That's what I'm talking about, the Bible. It's like, this is the Bible. Well, so I invite you to repentance. I rely on it. Mercy is the foundation of my life, not my own righteousness. It's not there. I don't have any righteousness. I failed at that years ago. And the only reason I keep trying is because I have a kind and merciful Savior encouraging me along the way. Otherwise, if he was a dictator or a taskmaster, I would have given up a long time ago. And then I remember he delivered us from taskmasters in Egypt. He doesn't like taskmasters either, who get the bullwhip out and start to beat the dead horse. No, this is mercy. Let's come into his mercy. Let's repent. Return to him. It's not a shame to confess to Jesus, I've done wrong. Because he wants you back with him. So let's trust in that merciful love of Jesus. Comes to feed us here. Comes to bring us into the kingdom with Mary Magdalene and the other five virgins who did get in, recognizing that we're not the church of the perfect, but the church of the repentant, so that when we come to that place where my mother went, we have a way out, and it's Jesus.